This evening, we will hear the last part of Pastor Bryant Grant's message in his Worthy Walk series entitled Walk in Honor. This series is a part of Pastor Grant's larger series of messages taken from the book of Ephesians and focuses on what the Apostle Paul meant by his admonition to believers to walk worthy of our calling in Jesus Christ. Last week, Pastor Grant brought us face-to-face with the unfortunate fact that believers, while in this body of flesh, though washed in the blood, retain the capacity to sin, making it essential that, in order to walk worthy, to live as people of honor involves a willingness to put on the new man. So listen with us now to the conclusion of Pastor Grant's message entitled Walk in Honor, as he continues to describe from Scripture some practical ways in which one goes about putting on the new man. Here again is Pastor Grant.
We, you and I, must consciously replace the old man with the new man. Let me help you to see what the Word of God says. How can we do it? Can I give you two simple practical ways to do it? How do we replace the old man with the new man? Turn with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Don't miss the last two verses. Did you see what it says? What did it say? Since you have what? Put off the old man, right? And put on the new man, who is renewed according to the image of him who created him. Here are two quick things. How do we replace the old man with the new? Put this in your notes. Number one, we start focusing on what pleases God. We start focusing on what pleases God. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, verse number one, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above. Amen. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. This is as practical as it can be. Set our minds on the things above. Set your mind on what pleases God. We were to have a little circle here, and I randomly called a few people and asked you, what pleases God? Do you know we would get a lot of very good answers? Because to be honest, most of us have a pretty good idea what pleases God. Am I right about that? Yeah. We know it pleases God when we behave properly. Amen. Right. We're coming back there soon. But we know it pleases God when we behave right. We know it pleases God when we spend time in his word. Am I right about it? We know it pleases God when we worship him. We know it pleases God when we pray. We know it pleases God when we are kind to our neighbor and help. And the challenge is, we know what pleases God, but we are refusing to do even what we know. So don't come here and say, well, I really don't know how to... You know, we can have all this stuff. Oh, I don't know how I can really live the Christian life. Yes, you know. Number one, set your mind on what pleases As your pastor, let me just talk to GC a minute. Can I tell you one of the things that disturbs me? I'm going to tell you whether you want me to or not. Do you realize that many Christians only come to church when they feel like? So since I'm talking about setting your mind on what pleases God, do you know that God has given gifts to the church to help the church to grow and mature? Did you realize that our coming together actually matters? I hear some Christians say, all the stuff I need, I get it online. Believe you me, and I'm thankful there are a number of people who watch us online, and they tell us they watch us online, and we're thankful to God that they watch us online, but there ain't nothing like being here. You see, how do I know it pleases God? Because the Bible says it. It says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of such is. He says, some folks are in the habit of not assembling together. He says, don't do that. So if you want to please God, I'm going to ask every person here this morning. I can't talk to those who are not here. I'm talking to you. God knew you were going to be here. This message is from you, for you. And part of the commitment that God is asking every one of us here to make today is, God, I'm going to commit to be here every Sunday unless something happens that I can't possibly be there, but I will be there. Can God count on you? I'm going to tell you, it is going to make a difference in your life. It's going to make a difference in your family's life. It's going to make a difference in your children's life. It pays to do what God says. And I challenge you this morning to do what God says. Obey God. How do I replace the old man with the new? Number one, we start focusing. That word focusing. We start focusing on what pleases God. But secondly, we stop focusing on what pleases the flesh. Did you notice what verse 1 said? It says, verse 2 said, set your mind up on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And by the way, this passage is being written to Christians. My friend, God wants us to realize that it is possible to replace the old man with the new man. As I said, there is a war, but you and I have a choice to decide who wins. So I closed my little chat with the young man on the phone, and I told him my little story, which you've heard me say before. You know, I love, there are a couple of stories I love, so you'll hear me repeating them from time to time. And one of my illustrations was the illustration with these two dogs. So you have a black dog and a brown dog, and these two dogs fight every day. But you have a love for this black dog, and you're determined that you want this black dog to eventually beat that brown dog. Do you know one of the easiest ways to make sure it happens? Feed the black dog. And don't give the brown dog no food. Do you realize what's going to happen? After a couple weeks, that black dog is as strong as a lion. He feels he's a lion. Particularly when he says, poor little brown dog. The little brown dog, he's so weak, he can hardly walk. He, you know, poor little dog has got no food. He's still alive, but he just barely making it. Did you get what I'm saying? How do I replace the old man with the new? I starve that old man like I starve the brown dog. And I feed the new man like I feed that black dog. And after a while, that old nature is going to lose its power. It's going to lose its hold in my life. Do you understand where we're coming from? So my friend, God is saying, get rid of that old man. He says, hey, stop focusing on the stuff that pleases the flesh. Start focusing on what pleases God. And I guarantee you, young person, older person, some years later, you're going to come and say, wow, look at what God has done. Look at how I have grown. Look at how I am having victory over sin. Look at how God is helping me to live a life of honor. I once thought it was impossible, but by God's grace, I'm living a life of honor. I'm living a life that pleases God. You're not saying that proudly. You're saying that because of the grace of God, and you're thanking God for what He has done for you. Amen. What have we said so far? Number one, we have said that walking in honor requires a commitment to change direction. Second, we have said walking in honor requires putting on the old man. And finally, walking in honor requires not grieving the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a force. And we will keep reiterating this from time to time because it is so important that every believer understands that the Holy Spirit is a person. You do not grieve forces. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Spirit is a person, and it's possible to grieve Him.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. You've been listening over the last number of weeks to Pastor Brian Grant's series of messages on the worthy walk the Apostle Paul wrote of in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Copies of all six messages are available on CD or DVD for a donation of $20. To order, please call 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. Or reach us online at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. You may also write to us at Germantown Christian Assembly, 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. Please include your full mailing address and be sure to specify CD or DVD. We thank you in advance for your interest. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
To grieve the Holy Spirit means to make Him sad or sorrowful. You can put that in your notes. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we're certainly not walking in honor. Amen? I remember when we were young people, when we were growing up, one of the things that helped me walk straight is that I didn't want to hurt my parents. Have you ever been there? I didn't want to hurt them. They were good people. Good people. I didn't want to hurt them. And so sometimes all the sinful stuff. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you I didn't veer off track from time to time. I won't even tell you about Richard's bad behavior too. I don't know which one of us was worse. But the truth of it, I know my other brother was the best. But here's the reality. None of us wanted to hurt our parents. But now that I'm a Christian, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to make Him sad. I don't want to make the Holy Spirit sorrowful. And so, by God's grace, I don't know if that you keep that in the back of your mind. I don't want to hurt God. When I'm bad, when I'm go off track, it hurts God. Did you know that? Young person, do you realize it hurts God? The passage gives us a number of ways. This is not exhaustive. In fact, Colossians 3, if you notice, it also mentions ways that we hurt God. But right here in the passage, there are a number of them. I'm going to give you five before I sit down, all right? And I'm going to go pretty fast. So, number one, we hurt God when we lie. Ephesians 4, 25. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Are you a liar? You know, not every Christian you can trust their word. My Bible tells me in Proverbs 12:22 that lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord. If you're one of those whose word cannot be trusted, you're hurting God. Stop. Amen. But secondly, not only by lying, the second thing, by rage and uncontrolled anger. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness, rage, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We got to get rid of anger. And we need to deal with it quickly. Amen. Look at what verse 26 says. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. God is saying, deal with it, what? Quickly. You know, we just finished a series on unity, but the devil is so slick, I wouldn't be surprised if there's somebody here who has already forgotten that message and is already harboring anger against somebody. And God is saying, you need to deal with it. He says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. You need to deal with it. And I'm going to encourage you, my believer, that you deal with it today. Amen. You deal with it today. When, if you don't, God is hurt. If you don't deal with it, God is sad. And I want everyone to leave church this morning recognizing that our attitudes are making God cry. And it's time for a change. Amen. It's time to walk in honor. It's time to fix it. Some of you have issues with your wives and your husbands and your children. It's time to fix it. But listen, by lying, by rage and uncontrolled action, here's the third one the passage brings out, by stealing. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that maybe he have something to give to him who has need. You might rob a bank. Most of us haven't robbed a bank. But do you know a lot of Christians steal? Ha! We steal on the taxes. We steal our boss's time. Oh, come on. You sit at that computer, you're ordering all your Christmas stuff, and you boss paying you $30 an hour and you just took half an hour. You stole $15 from the man just while you're ordering. Go to the hotel and you see a nice towel. And do you know, I've actually had Christians who had the audacity to tell me, Brian, it's factored in the hotel room rate. They factored it in. They know we're going to steal it. They didn't use the word steal. They know we're going to take it, so they factored it into the rate. No, they didn't factor in the fact that you were going to steal it. They know there are some thieves who won't steal it. They factored in the fault for those who are the thieves. Oh, I know somebody say, Pastor, you gone to meddling now. You stop preaching and you start meddling. But this is the real deal. It's not yours. Leave it. You say, oh, nobody saw it, and God saw it and God cried. God saw it and God cried when you stole all that stuff from the hotel. Well, since I'm meddling already, I may as well meddle one more time. Do you know one of the areas Christians steal the most? Is when the offering bag passes. I want you to know that's also stealing. In fact, God himself called it stealing. In the book of Malachi, he says, will a man what? Will a man rob God? Wow. Are you robbing God? Offering bag passes. You try and find the smallest note you can find. Anytime that's the story, you've already robbed God because you haven't factored it in. You haven't thought it through. You haven't decided in advance, God, based on what you have blessed me with. You need to plan in advance. God, listen, a tithe. You know what a lady asked me one time? How do I figure out a tithe? I said, just drop off the last number. If you make $500 a week, it's just drop off that zero, it's 50. If you make $1,000, it's drop 1,006, drop off the last number. So if you can't do math, at least you know what a tithe is. It's as simple as that. And the Bible talks about tithes and offerings. Oh, this is not a message on giving. But listen, let us not think we are not hurting God and grieving the Spirit when we rob Him what is His. But then, fourth, bitterness. Bitterness is like drinking rat poison and waiting for the rat to die. I think the fourth one I should have put in there was unwholesome speech. It says there in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. I was only probably about 18. I was so shocked. This man who I knew from a sister church, he was such a godly man on a Sunday. I was so shocked. I went to his business. He owned a business and, you know, they did manual work and it was a car place. And man, the cussing, I heard the cussing. I didn't even see him. I heard the cussing. I knew it wasn't him. Is that you? It matters. It matters. God is actually saying, you see, this walking in honor is very practical, you know. It's not something up in the clouds. It's not theory. It's a lifestyle that pleases God. And God is saying, listen, when we walk in honor, we don't grieve the Holy Spirit and these practical things. Because, listen, this change that is happening when the new man is being maximized, when we're doing what pleases God, we're going to find that little by little, some of this stuff is going to fall off. Bitterness, drinking poison. The rat ain't going to die. You're going to die. Woodrow Kroll said, a bitter spirit will keep you from being a better person. Last night as I reflected on what the Lord had laid on my heart, I thought back to that same old story I told you before, and I'm going to tell you again. We were in London, and the hotel we had prepaid for was booked, and so they had upgraded us to the top of the line, 5-star hotel, because all the others were gone. They put us in the best they had. We walked in the Persian rugs. You know, normally you see carpet. This one had Persian rugs. It was so plush. Everything was so incredible. We know we couldn't afford this hotel, but we were there for free. But we know we couldn't afford breakfast. So every day we went out, my wife and I went out, and we had breakfast in some little cheap place that gave us indigestion. But it was cheap. And listen, if you don't got the money in your pocket, eat what you can. One day she got sick. My poor, beautiful bride, she got sick and she couldn't leave. So, of course, I didn't eat there. I ran around the corner, but she had to order room service. Bottom line, at the end of the week, I went to settle the account. And I knew I didn't owe for the rooms because that was prepaid. And so the gentleman said, you don't owe anything. I said, sir, we had room service one day. And he said, sir. He says, sir, breakfast for two every day is included with your room. Breakfast for two every day. It's all paid for. And here we are. We could have had one of the finest breakfasts in London. And here we were paying to get indigestion. But isn't that what some of us are doing? Abundant life is fully paid for. Abundant life is fully paid for. Jesus paid for it at the cross. Jesus paid for it. The entire debt of my sin. Jesus, as a songwriter says, the debt of my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. My friend, you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You can come to Jesus this morning. You can repent of your sin and turn to Him. He has paid for abundant life. But you're here, you're a Christian. You're still trying to find good life. You're still looking over the fence. You still paying all that money to be at that little place you were at, thinking you're having such a good time. We're having such a good time. God wants to give you something money can't buy. This, you can't buy this stuff. It requires a commitment. God is saying to somebody, some Christian, perhaps you're young or you're old, he's saying, it starts with a commitment. And I'm trusting God, we are praying that this morning some Christian will say, God, I am ready for the commitment. God, I am ready to live a life of honor. I don't want to be a vessel of dishonor. God, I am ready.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.